Thank you. I'll be talking about some of our on-farm work that we're using with cover crops and deep soil nitrogen in their capture. So I'll start off by mentioning a preliminary study that we did, which was take soil cores across 29 farms in Maryland and Pennsylvania to assess how much nitrogen is left at the end of the growing season of corn or soybean. And so we took these deep soil cores and we found after growing corn or soybean, so we took them in late August, we found 100 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen remaining and about 120 kilograms per hectare of ammonium nitrate remaining in the 0 to 180 centimeter soil profile. So we're taking deep cores. And we also found significantly more nitrate in the soil profile in September following soybean than following corn. So the next part of our study was to try to investigate and develop these deep-rooted cover crops that can come in and capture that pool of leftover nitrogen from the soil profile. So these are the signs that we put on our collaborating farmer fields. Deep-rooted cover crops, adding nutrients to your bottom line and not to the bay. Because we're in the Maryland, Pennsylvania region, which is in the Chesapeake Bay estuary, and so there's a lot of concern about nitrogen inputs into the bay. And also any fertilizer that's left in the soil is a money loss to farmers. So if they can get away with applying less fertilizer, if they can capture some of this deep soil nitrogen, then that's a gain for them as well. So our research questions was how much nitrogen do the various cover crop species take up in the fall and the spring? So we're looking at four different cover crop species treatments: the forage radish in a monoculture, some kind of winter cereal that the farmer chooses. Usually it's either rye, wheat, triticale, a few of them use oats. A mix of a radish plus some kind of winter cereal plus a legume, and usually they're doing crimson clover as the legume, and then a no cover crop control. And we're looking at, then we're asking, how do these cover crop species affect the nitrogen in the soil profile from 0 down to 210 centimeters, so the surface all the way down to the deep subsoil. And then how do the various cover crop species affect the following corn early on in the season at V5 stage and then the corn yield later on. So we're taking these deep soil cores with Wiehmeyer probes. We're hand driving them into the soil and we go down to 210 centimeters when possible. On some of the farms, we hit bedrock or the water table before that, but usually we were able to get down that far. We have about 20 farms where we set this up, but I'm just going to be highlighting a couple farms today. And then we also took the cover crop biomass samples in the fall and the spring. So we're taking the deep cores in the fall and the spring and the cover crop in the fall and the spring. And then again, we follow the cover crop plots with corn, and then we're sampling the corn. So the farm that I wanted to highlight today was in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We had similar results to these on several of the other farms as well that had the cover crop planted early. On some of the farms where the farmers got the cover crops in late, there is much less cover crop growth and less significant results. So by early, I mean by early September versus late, I mean more like October 1st. So this farm was planted on September 2nd and it had a history of heavy manure application. And we planted the four different species, the radish, a triticale, a three-way mix of radish, triticale, and crimson clover, and then we had the control. So these are the results that we found for the cover crop biomass nitrogen uptake. So it's the biomass of the cover crop multiplied by the percent nitrogen in the cover crop, and that you can see on the y-axis. And we have the four treatments across the bottom. So the highest amount of nitrogen uptake was by the mixed treatment, and then the triticale was significantly lower than that, but still we're picking up about 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare with the triticale. And then the graph on the right is from their same plots, but in the spring. And so we have, the mix is much lower in the spring because most of what grew in the mix was the forage radish, You can see in the picture there how well the forage radish did. And so in Maryland, the forage radish winter kills over the winter, and so what you're left with in the spring is just the rye. That's why there is a nitrogen loss then. And then, so the triticale is the highest amount of biomass and nitrogen uptake in the spring. And then we had a lot of winter annual weeds at that site in the spring. And that's not uncommon. We typically find that. So what looks like the bare plot, that is actually the radish. And then this one right here beside it, that was the control. And all of that you see is the winter annual weeds that came up in that plot. So this is what the soil looked like under those different cover crop plots. And this is the deep soil from zero all the way down to 210 centimeters. And what's going across the x-axis is the nitrate nitrogen in kilograms per hectare. So the black lines is the control treatment where there was no cover crops. And you can see that there's significantly more nitrate all the way from zero down to 180 centimeters in the plots that had no cover crop compared to all of the other cover crop species had significantly less nitrate. So the cover crops are doing a really good job of cleaning up the soil profile all the way down to 180 centimeters. And that's just what they're doing in the fall months. So they were planted September 2nd, and we took these cores in late November. So they really were able to clean up that soil profile during the fall. And then these were, when we went back in the spring in April and we took more deep soil cores, this is what we found. So again, the radish winter kills and decomposes over the winter and quickly releases the nitrate. And you can see that as the bulge. So the blue line is the radish. So we have high nitrate levels on the surface layers of the soil in the spring. And then you can see in the control plots how the nitrate has leached down. So in the fall, it's very high on the surface, but by the spring in Maryland, we have a lot of rain over the winter, and so that nitrate has leached down to about between 60 and 150 centimeters by the spring of that year. And then the triticale tends to tie up the nitrogen, and we find low levels all the way down through the soil profile. So then we followed the treatments with corn, and this is an average of 6 farms of the biomass of corn at the V5 stage, so early in the season. And we find this on a lot of our farm trials that the winter cereal, the corn following a winter cereal has a yield or a smaller plants early on in the season, and then the largest plants are following the radish cover crop, and then no cover crop and mixed are in the middle, and they're usually around the same, similar to each other. And then, so this is some of our experiments in the corn yield. And so these are nitrogen response curves, and we have the nitrogen fertilizer rates applied across the bottom, and this nitrogen fertilizer was applied at side dress time, not at planting. So this was the corn yield. You can see that the triticale treatment, the corn that had previously been in triticale has a yield hit. So it's lower yield, even at the highest nitrogen fertilizer application rates. And then we're finding that the radish has the best corn yield. And we don't always find that, but we find that a fair amount. And then the control and the mixed cover crops are about the same in terms of their yield. And so we're very comfortable saying that by growing radish or mixed cover crops, you're not going to have a yield hit. You may not have a yield gain, but if you grow the winter cereal cover crops, we consistently see that drop in the yield, regardless of the nitrogen fertilizer applied, which is similar to what the previous speaker was talking about. So then a big takeaway that we have from this study is that in Maryland, it's really crucial that you plant the cover crop by early September if you want it to grow deep roots in the fall and pick up the subsoil nitrate. So these are just 2 farms we worked on. That's what the cover crops looked like planted in early October, and they picked up 5 to 8 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare versus your 150 to 200 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen picked up when they were planted a month earlier. So it's the drastic difference in the kind of cover crop growth you're going to get. And so in Maryland, we're trying to work with farmers and develop techniques to get cover crops planted early, because our biggest problem is the cover crops are usually planted after a corn harvest, which is in late September or October, or soybeans, which often aren't harvested till November. And so it's really hard to get the cover crop in early. So in addition to going after earlier harvested crops like corn silage and potatoes, we're encouraging them to use shorter season corn varieties or to skip a double crop of soybeans and to plant them in July after wheat. And some other techniques that we're using in Maryland are aerial seeding into a senescing corn crop. And we found that that works particularly well with irrigation. So this was a trial that we did on the eastern shore of Maryland, looking at cover crops drilled after the corn harvest. This was corn grain in October versus flown on in early September while the corn was still standing in the field. And on the flown treatment, we had a irrigated versus non-irrigated. And we found if the farmer just applied one round of irrigation, about half an inch or an inch, after flying the cover crop on, it drastically improved the growth of that cover crop just because they had better seed-to-soil contact. So we're finding that if you don't have rain, it's really important if you can that you irrigate if you're going to aerial seed. And then also interseeding has some opportunities, either using drop-down seeders later in the summer, like a highboy with drop-down nozzles, or earlier on in the season at nitrogen side dress time. Some farmers are trying to interseed then through corn, and the cover crops stay very low to the ground while the corn is growing, and then they take off as soon as you harvest. So in conclusion, we have these large pools of mineral nitrogen that remain after the corn harvest. The cover crops can take up the nitrogen from the deep soil layers, but only if they're planted early. Winter cereal cover crops will clean up the soil profile, but they'll immobilize the nitrogen, and they will cause a lower corn yields and higher spring fertilizer nitrogen needs. And we find that the mixed radish or the straight radish cover crops both clean up the soil profile and they do not immobilize the nitrogen for the following corn. So I can take any questions if we have time. Yes.
You showed one graph with a small grain and then an early mix and then a late mix and then a radish with a greater. I was wondering, was that early mix, late mix planted early in the
Yes. So that was on a farmer we had one of the mixes was planted like 2 weeks before the other. I think it was like September 1st and September 15th.
Mm-hmm. So the early mix though had a lower.
Yeah, that was the corn yield, and I'm not sure if that was significantly lower or not. But,
Did you see less of the yield loss with the later planted cereals?
Yeah, because they just they didn't. Yeah.
Do you know what the seed to N ratio was of your cereal crops when you terminated in the spring, and did it make a difference on corn yields if it was lower compared to our greater?
Yeah, I don't know that off the top of my head, but we do have the data on that I could check. That's a good point.